Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, September 26th. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Humboldt Soups briefed on fire insurance and hemp legislation. SoHum hosts a flea for all. And Eureka City Council Meet the Candidate series continues with the 4th Ward challenger, Lucky Sipintong. Stay tuned. News on those stories and more coming right up. Wildfire insurance and intoxicating hemp top the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors list of state legislation updates. Daniel Mentz reports.
The state's legislature has adjourned for the year, leaving wildfire insurance and hemp legislation unsettled. Humboldt County state representatives have focused on what's been described as a homeowner's insurance crisis, but their efforts to advance laws changing it haven't yielded results. Meanwhile, hemp legislation opposed by local cannabis farmers was tabled, and Governor Gavin Newsom has issued emergency regulations on intoxicating hemp. Those locally important state-level scenarios were summarized by Karen Lang, one of Humboldt County's lobbying consultants, at the September 24th Board of Supervisors meeting. Senator Mike McGuire wants to advance new legislation easing the cost and expanding availability of wildfire insurance, but hasn't been able to this year. Lang told supervisors that despite the absence of a bill, there is progress in the form of a new partnership between Cal Poly Humboldt and the state.
What is happening, and actually it's happening here, very exciting, Cal Poly Humboldt is going to be partnering with the Department of Insurance to work on how to develop catastrophic modeling for insurance rates. The insurance industry is able to look 20 years in the rearview mirror for their actuarial tables, but they were not allowed to look forward to incorporate the cost of climate change in their risk models. Cal Poly is going to be working on that with the Department of Insurance to figure out how to set rates that will stabilize the insurance market and keep insurers in California. Unfortunately, accessibility doesn't equate to affordability for your constituents. And when we talk about that with the insurance commissioner's office, it seems as though their perspective is if we can keep insurers in the market and continue making investments in prevention, hopefully over time the risk models will lower in terms of like the forecasted cost of offering insurance, and then costs will go down over time while the insurance industry will stay in the California market, because it is creating negative impacts across real estate transactions, affordability, and frankly just protecting folks in the event that their home burns down.
On the hemp side, Lang reported that Assembly Bill 2223 failed to come to a legislative vote. Cannabis industry advocates opposed it, saying it gave intoxicating hemp an unfair competitive advantage due to comparatively light regulation. Lang said Newsom's emergency regulations will likely draw a hemp industry lawsuit, and another try at legislation is expected next year.
The governor, shortly after session adjourned, released a set of emergency regulations to get intoxicating hemp products off of the regular store shelves and only into dispensaries where there are age gates. We anticipate that the hemp industry will be suing over these regulations, and so the issue will come back in 2025, I'm sure of it. And so when we were talking about the platform yesterday, we were looking at trying to find a way to incorporate that topic into the platform so we're ready to go and able to respond rapidly should a measure be introduced in 2025.
The lack of progress on the insurance issues was discussed by supervisors. The importance of recognizing fire safe efforts was discussed in this exchange between Supervisor Steve Madrone and Lang.
Ultimately, I think homeowners want to have their assessments done at the parcel level. You know, because you can have a neighborhood with a whole lot of people that aren't doing defensible space or anything else, but you have one homeowner who maybe has spent a whole lot of money on defensible space and home hardening and all these other measures. And they really should be rewarded for that. And so no matter how good they get at all these models, it still doesn't get us to that point of really respecting the individual efforts that people put into it. So I'm hoping, and I think the task force has been looking at that, like, could we have CAL FIRE come around and do inspections, you know, that then tee into the insurance company's risk assessments and stuff. A lot to work on there, not asking for anything, just wanted to make that point.
If I may, there are opportunities to make comments about the draft regulations, and that is one of the points that local agencies have been making, is that there are communities making significant investments at the county level, at the city level, and FireWise communities that it doesn't seem like the insurance companies want to have to take into account when they set rates in certain areas of the state. And we've tried to flag that for our county clients. Please send in comments, because we know counties are making investments exactly like that.
The state legislative arena also includes a November election ballot measure, Proposition 35. It extends a tax on health insurance companies and mandates that tax revenue be used to improve healthcare services. In a separate agenda item, supervisors approved a resolution in support of Prop 35. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
This week, KMUD News is hosting our Meet the Candidates series, where we feature interviews with those running for Eureka City Council. In Ward 2, incumbent Katie Moulton is being challenged by Kenny Carswell, currently employed as a project manager with Security National. In Ward 4, incumbent Scott Bauer is being challenged by Tavisak Lucky Sipindong, a local business owner of Lucky Star Realty and Eureka Skate Shop. Each candidate was given 15 minutes to share their platforms, and all were asked the same set of questions. Incumbents were asked to highlight their accomplishments during their time in office, while challengers were asked what inspired them to run. We are presenting the candidates in reverse alphabetical order by last name, giving you a comprehensive look at their priorities and vision for Eureka's future. Earlier this week, we heard from candidates running for Ward 2. Tonight, we feature Tavisak Lucky Sipindong, who is vying for the Ward 4 seat against the incumbent. We go to Lauren Schmidt with this interview.
Thank you for joining us here on our Meet the Candidate series. If you could begin by introducing yourself and sharing the motivation behind running for Ward 4 and what you hope to accomplish if elected.
All right. My name is Tavisak Lucky Sipindong. My parents and I, we were refugees from Laos because of the Vietnam War. My parents wanted a better life for their children, so they escaped from Laos to Thailand refugee camps, and they were telling me that we were being shot at in the middle of the night. I was a baby. They gave me like a sleeping medicine. But yeah, we survived that. I was probably like 1 year old. Then my parents, we stayed at the refugee camps in Thailand for a few years before we were sponsored by a church in Ohio. And then after that, after a couple months, my dad's like, oh, it's too cold here. Let's move to California. Little did he know that it would be not one of the hottest places in California. We had some relatives here, and so they let us live with them in their apartment for a few months before we were able to find a place behind Bucksport. There's like a little hotel, motel thing that we were able to find a place. And basically, I grew up here. I came here not knowing the language. I was probably 5 or 6 at that time. I went to all the local schools. Lafayette, Alice Burney, South Bay. So I had to learn the language. By the time I was in third grade at Alice Burney, I could speak fluently. I learned by watching Sesame Street, Paddington Bear, you know, going to school. And yeah, and then my parents bought a house on Humboldt Hill and we moved there. And then I went to South Bay. And then I went to Zane, and then they bought a house on Pine Hill. So then I had to go to Winship for 8th grade. And then I went to Eureka High. And then after that, they told me, hey, what do you want to be, you know, as a career? You have 3 choices, a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer. So I thought the engineer would be the easiest. So I said, okay, I'll go to Humboldt and study engineering. And so I went there and got my environmental resources engineering degree. But I also told my parents that I wanted to write a book about how we came to America and their story and our story about achieving the American dream and all that. So I studied English and got my English degree also. So like my parents are like my inspiration for what I do in life. They took a chance, they risked their life to come here. So yeah, and that's part of the reason why I'm running is I want to give back to my community. I have 4 kids in the school systems. And everywhere we go, my wife and I were part of the PTA or the PTO. We want to be involved. I want to be there for my kids because my parents weren't able to be there for me because they worked like 12-hour jobs when I was growing up. So, I wanted to give my kids the opportunities and the time that my parents couldn't give me. And so we're very involved with our schools, with our kids' schools. Elementary, middle school, high school. We have a high schooler now. She's at the EHS soccer team. She made the team. So in fact, there's a game today at Eureka. They had to move the game to Washington School because the LV Stadium is being fixed. All that. So yeah, part of the reason why I want to run for city council, I've been wanting to run for the last 20 plus years, but I just haven't had the opportunity because of jobs, family, or we've always lived outside like on Humboldt Hill or Cutton. Earlier this year, I'm also a real estate broker. So by the time I graduated, I was helping my parents with their real estate transactions, buying rentals and whatnot. And so by that time, I thought I could do this because I was translating for them. And so when I graduated, I told my parents, I just want to do real estate. And so I took the test and became a real estate broker and started my own company, Lucky Star Realty. At the time when you when you ha at that time when you have a degree, you could just go straight for the broker's exam, and I did, and I got my broker's exam right away. So I wanted to prove that, I could just do it and get it. I have like my parents, I can set goals. I love to set goals and go for it. When I was at South Bay, I wanted to read the most books in school, and we had to take tests. And by the time I was in sixth grade, I read the most books, and they told me that it was in the whole nation that had the most points. And my name is still on the South Bay School Library as reading the most books for that year. So yeah, part of the reason that I wanted to run is because I want to give back to my community. I think it's time. Let the PTA has a new president now. I was PTA president last couple of years, and so. But I'm also on the Rotary too. So a motto of Rotary is service above self. And I think this is me living that service above self mentality, giving back to my community. And so that's what I want to do. And I would give a different perspective for the council because I don't think there's another minority in there or someone with my life experiences and perspectives to bring on to the board or to the council.
What are the top five issues you would like to focus on? Are any of them specific to Ward 2? And can you explain why you believe you are better suited to address these issues compared to the incumbent?
I believe that my platform, I call it SF to keep it simple. S stands for safety. And so safety meaning we have to make sure our police department, our fire department, they're well funded. Safety is also keeping our roads, safe, making sure there's no potholes. So just the bare minimum basics, make sure those are in good standing. And the F stands for family. Family meaning families have good jobs that can pay for housing and food and all of that. And also part of the family is keeping the children occupied with recreational sports. So I support local recreational sports, like Humboldt Youth Soccer League, all the baseball leagues out there. Boys and Girls Club. I'm on the board of Boys and Girls Club also, and we sponsor like a Cubs baseball league. So anything that would help support the family there. Some of the issues in the neighborhood Ward 4 is of course safety. Eureka wants to bring in a trail in the backside there, and that's nice and everything for recreation, but we also need to make sure that it's safe. You know, maybe have a patrol person that's not uniform, non-threatening, but you know, keep an eye out for the people. Maybe add lighting if there's more trails and stuff like that to, you know, make sure it's safe. And also there's a few businesses in the Ward 4. Make sure our business community is thriving. So we do things that will bring tourism, keep customers going to our local businesses, like the costume box. You know, she's awesome out there. She helped me and my wife with our 80s costumes when we were doing the 80s gala. So, and I think these are the same issues that affect the Eureka as a whole, is safety, businesses, make sure they're driving it for Eureka, and just making our community better as a whole.
Our final question is in regards to Measure F, the Citizens Initiative to amend Eureka's general plan, a prominent issue on this year's ballot. Could you share your thoughts on this measure, whether you support it or not, and please explain your reasoning?
Okay, as a council member, I believe that my job is to look at all angles of the issue and not like be partisan. It's a nonpartisan role. So to study the issues and to know it from all angles. And I am still currently studying it, but from what I've read so far, like with the attorney with the city of Eureka is pointing out some of the things to consider. Like what they're putting this the multiple layers of zoning at, on the parking lots to maybe prevent affordable housing from being developed there. The attorney is pointing out some California codes that maybe is going to trump the Measure F factor there. Like if a project is being developed right now, it could be for the zoning that when it was started, not when the Measure F kicks in. So the Measure F may not be even effective in achieving their goal at that respect. And then, you know, with the Jacobs campus, they're trying to put more zoning on there, layers of zoning to help develop residential housing and whatnot. But the fact is, the city of Eureka does not own that site, and it's the city Eureka Schools owns that site. So I think in theory, they have a good they want to achieve you know, they want to help the businesses, and what they're thinking of, the ideas behind that measure is good, but the execution is not, in my opinion. Therefore, I think I'm going, in my opinion, I'm going to vote no for that. And yeah, that's I know it's controversial. I have friends on both sides of the issue, but for me personally, I mean, I'm still studying, you know, all the different codes and laws of, you know, with that. And I think it's not going to be as effective, and they might take each other to court, the city and the Measure F people. So, but in my opinion, I'm going to say no.
And finally, before we wrap up, do you have any closing remarks or final thoughts you would like to share with our listeners?
One more thing I would like to say, they did pass, Eureka did pass that vacancy code that they will charge owners for buildings being vacant for 6 months and whatnot. In my opinion, I would vote no if I were on the council, because I think that's stepping on property owner rights. And if they're maintaining their property, then why are you going to force them to, you know, charge them a fine or something like that? But yes, Eurekans should vote for me because I grew up here. I love Eureka. I have family that we raise here. I think this is the best city in the country. We tried to move away several times to Texas or Portland, but something draws us back here, and it's a great place to raise kids. And I am raising my kids in this community, and I bring a different perspective. I will look at all the data, all the sides of the issue before considering to vote yes or no on a certain issue. And I love our city and our community. And you could tell because I am on the Boys and Girls Club, a board of directors, the Rotary, PTA. So I'm not just all talk, I'm action too. And I will be there for the citizens. Even today, I'm going to the neighborhood watch for the Ward 4 Bridge community, business community tonight. So just to hear what their concerns are. And my number, you will be able to call me anytime, and I will respond quickly. So thank you so much for letting me talk and just giving you my perspective.
Again, that was Tavisak Lucky Sipintang running for Eureka City Council in Ward 4. Eureka's 4th Ward is located in the southern part of the city and is primarily a residential district. It features a mix of single-family homes, apartment complexes, and some commercial areas. The ward is known for its quieter neighborhoods and proximity to natural areas like Sequoia Park, which offers residents green spaces and recreational opportunities. Ward 4 also includes portions of Henderson Center, a central hub with local businesses, shops, and services. While the area is largely suburban in character, it faces challenges related to infrastructure, housing affordability, and access to services. Ward 4 residents are engaged in community issues, making it a vital part of Eureka's civic landscape. You can join us again tomorrow on Friday to hear from the final candidate, 4th Ward incumbent Scott Bauer. A flea for all will take place this Friday and Saturday in Southern Humboldt. This inaugural event was born out of a love for community and cherished childhood memories.
My name is Lula Williams. I was born and raised in Whale Gulch, and I just have always been a part of the community, obviously always cared about the community. And then that tying into my flea market, or our flea market, I hope it's more for the community, not just me. But it's something that I used to do with my dad. We'd go to Sacramento and like go to the yard sales all morning, you know, and have donuts. And that was like our special time together visiting my grandparents. And I just feel like in this time that Southern Humboldt is struggling, like everybody has stuff that they don't necessarily need, and people need stuff that they can't afford to buy or there's no access to in Garberville. So I just feel like that this may be a really good solution.
Williams spearheaded the event and has a vision of what the Flea for All can be for the community that she loves.
It's a community market, and in this case in particular, I have people that are bringing canned goods, crafts, secondhand items, kids' clothing, adult clothing. I have actually a large amount of mail interest, which is different for yard sales. A lot of times when you go to a yard sale, guys will come in, anything for me, you know, and you're like, no, sorry, you know, but I actually have a few vendors that are males that are going to be bringing tools. And so I have welding equipment and just all sorts of different car auto supplies. So I'm happy to have that kind of variety.
With businesses closing following the collapse of the cannabis economy, Williams, a lifelong resident, says the changes have been scary.
When I was younger, we thought there was nothing here. And there was so much more here than there is now. And then, of course, you know, the cannabis economy boosted, and it got more lively around here. And we got our coffee shop drive through, and, you know, reggae got really big, and then the shrink. And so it's nerve wracking. I'm definitely scared for our community, and I would love to see it built back up again.
As shopping options become limited, Williams believes offering people a chance to sell wares to each other and their surrounding community serves a dual purpose.
you know, businesses are cool, but there's only a dozen of them. And so that only profits those dozen families. And so I feel like when we bring 50 different vendors into one area and hopefully bring people from surrounding areas, spread the net a little wider, hopefully we'll get people coming in from other areas. And I want this to be a biannual thing. That's my goal.
Though the economic hardships faced can be depressing, the solution, Williams thinks, lies in supporting one another.
You know, morale in the Southern Humboldt area has been down. It's been sad. It's been a bummer. I'm definitely scared. I know other people are. And I would love for us to come together and support each other. Yeah.
Some businesses are also participating in the event, hoping to boost sales. The event will also provide support for the Southern Humboldt Community Park, where the event will be held.
The fees that I'm charging for the booth rent is going to be given to the community park. That's not a profit. So it's kind of an interesting event because somebody asked me, well, is it nonprofit or is it profit? But I'm like, well, the fees are going to the park and then all the vendors. So, you know, a greater part of the community will hopefully profit. I hope they profit, right? That's kind of my goal. To me, people getting together and supporting each other and it's kind of not similar to Back to the Land, you know, we're kind of like going back to that core, not needing the corporate stores as much. Of course, a lot of this came from corporate stores, but here we are relying on each other and circulating stuff instead of buying new stuff.
Williams herself is hoping for that magical flea market find, browsing through the over 50 merchants. The first find on Flea for All attendees will be to locate the market at the community park located at 1144 Sproul Creek Road in Garberville.
This will be in the same field that the Easter egg hunt takes place in. And so you would take the first entrance into the community park. You'll park right there where the rodeo grounds is. And then we will walk across the little bridges into that event area there in the field.
Flea for All will be open Friday, September 27th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, September 28th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.